it can happen that clients refuse everybody we send them, and then it really it's important to check to get feedback to and act on it. So, for example, we are currently working with a client in India. They're looking for a tech lead, but actually that tech lead is a tech lead on paper, but in reality, they're looking for a CTO. So we found that out by rechecking in with them, and now we were finally able to send someone over who has worked as a CTO in the past and who may actually be hired by them.
Hi there, I'm Andreas. I'm the founder and CEO of Gridlove. We help startups and teams grow. Today I'm talking with my colleague Simone Aretz about hiring and retaining talent in the software industry in our monthly podcast Pulse. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy. I'm talking today with Simone, our German colleague living in France, but you're a bit of a digital nomad as well. You live mostly in France, but today you're in Spain, as far as I understand, to survive the winter. And you're the one that manages recruitment that we do for our clients. So welcome to the podcast, Simone.
Thank you very much. Nice to be there.
Yeah, of course. So let's dive straight in. You work with our customers to find their technical talents. So where do you find them? Because it's a very hard thing to do these days.
Yeah, so there are different channels that we use. Of course, we have a well-visited website of Made With Love, where we post our ads, and they're also directly posted in different channels. We also use LinkedIn quite a bit. So we have a good potential of LinkedIn followers. For example, recently we got 77 candidates in a couple of days because you posted an ad there, Andreas. Also, what's quite important is that the job description must be well written, and we need to conduct a thorough spell check to make sure that it looks professional and that it will be easier for people to find it. Because if you have a typo in a technology, then people who are looking for this technology, they may not be able to find you. So that is very important as well. Also, it's always good to explore new sources. For example, recently we tested a new job board and we actually ended up hiring two people.
Cool.
What is also important, and some people neglect this fact, a tech recruiter needs to be a tech recruiter. So you need to have a person who is fairly specialized. I mean, they don't need to be an engineer, but at least they should be able to tell the difference between front end and back end. Mm-hmm. And what we also do at Made With Love, we conduct technical interviews and technical assessments. And this way we are sure that we only send pre-vetted candidates to our clients.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And that's also something that when I sell our recruitment service, I think it's something that is very important that we understand technology. Maybe a bit on the job description. To go back to that, I remember we also used some kind of tooling to check if the language that we were using was not only written correctly, but also if it was inclusive enough. Is that still something that we do?
Yes. I mean, we also, of course, we put like that everybody is welcome. We also have a little sentence in there. Please feel free to apply even if you don't match all the requirements. So that is often important because their statistics show that women often only apply if they meet at least like 80 or 90% of the requirements, whereas mm-hmm. men reply even if they meet only 30% of them. So
they're a bit too confident, huh?
Yeah. For example, the word culture fit, I stopped using it because it can be misunderstood. They may think we only look for white Europeans. So that is definitely not the case. We also have like a little sentences on our website that says, hey, you may think this team does not look like me at all, but we actually look people who don't look like us. So that is not really in the job description, but it's on our website, on our career page. And I think that also helps people too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And when you talk about the channels and the job boards, I think we also spend quite some time on trying to find the job boards that are more inclusive. What's your experience with that?
We recently started testing remote women. I use the Slack channel a little bit, and I have some time, I browse through it a bit and see if there's somebody who could be a fit. But for now, we've had one or two candidates who came in through that. So I think it's what I use a lot is Angel. So that is mm-hmm. very international.
They renamed the thing, right?
Renamed it to Wellfound. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
they,
right.
they will
yeah.
change in January. It will be found under Wellfound. I like that one a lot. First of all, it's free.
Yeah.
And it also attracts a lot of people from Africa, for example. So I already placed like four people from Nigeria with one of our clients.
Yep.
And that worked super well because you just get a lot more candidate from there. So
yeah. Okay. In today's market, obviously, it's very hard to find people. I mean, because of, everyone's looking for engineers or technical profiles. How fast do you need to be to basically, when someone applies, like what are the a good run-through time with a candidate? How do you see that?
As fast as possible. So because it's really a race today, because good candidates who are actively looking are in numerous processes. And often it's a question of timing. You need to extend an offer to them as soon as possible. Of course, you need to still assess them. We are currently working on technical interviews that we want to deploy more often and pair programming. So you want to give candidates the choice, because sometimes when people are already working, it takes them a lot of time to complete the technical assignment. And this way we can be even faster. I would say time to hire should be 3 weeks maximum. And even then, that may already be too long.
Yeah. And how, because we, of course, did a technical assignment with most of the candidates that we see, how does that tie in with the timing? Like, do people, especially if they are applying for different companies, are they willing to do the assignment? That, like, or do you see there is a drop-off there?
There is a drop-off, definitely. There is quite a drop-off, I would say. I recently ran some numbers for that. I don't have them reminded, but it's quite significant. Especially when we hire for clients, I think the drop-off rate is higher, because they've only spoken to someone from Made with Love and they haven't really spoken to someone from the client side yet. So they are maybe a little less inclined to invest the 10 hours to do the technical assignment, opposed to when they have already spoken to someone from the company. They've looked at our website quite a lot. I mean, they also check the client website. So I would say it's like 30% dropout rate, maybe.
Yeah.
Just approximately. Right, from the previous funnel.
Originally, we always did a technical assignment, but we're experimenting with other options there as well, and hopefully that will help. Because I understand also if someone is, and because we also do some sourcing, of course, if you source someone, and then that means that they're basically still working somewhere, and you ask them, like, don't you want to come over to this company? And then they get into the process, and then you ask them, like, hey, do this technical assignment, which takes you 10 hours. I understand also from their perspective that it might not be the most interesting thing to do, and they drop off there as well. So that's why we realized that we need to come up with a solution for that, which we're currently working on. Okay. Talking about that, like, what does a good hiring process looks like for you?
It has to be agile. So when, of course, it should be short, that is for sure. But also what is important is that we need to check in with a client on a regular basis. So what I try to do also, for example, when a role is really hard to fill, it may make sense to check in with a client to adjust some requirements. We recently started working with a company in France, and they want someone for Laravel and Vue.js. So, and then they said, okay, Symfony is also fine too. I mean, it's also a PHP framework. So it makes sense to discuss these things sometimes. And then they also come back with, for example, the salary expectations was, the salary bracket that they suggested was fairly low. And with some market research, I told them, listen, guys, is that negotiable? So, and sometimes it's also good to check when clients want people to come to the office. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe something, is it enough when they come once a week? Because then it's not so bad if they drive 2 hours to get there or take a train for 2 hours. If they have to do that on a daily basis, that's really a problem. So that will help to extend the search radius. Or when we, for example, it can happen that clients refuse everybody we send them. And then it's important to check to get feedback and act on it. So, for example, we are currently working with a client in India. They're looking for a tech lead, but actually that tech lead is a tech lead on paper, but in reality, they're looking for a CTO. Mm-hmm. So we found that out by rechecking in with them. And now we were finally able to send someone over who has worked as a CTO in the past and who may actually be hired by them. So it's good to get the client's feedback as often as possible.
Yeah, of course. And maybe it's an interesting thing for us also to share with our audience. Of course, talking with the customer and getting the feedback from them on the candidate is very important. But we also take quite some time actually to provide feedback to the candidates, even if they are not hired. And it's pretty cool because I get to see also the emails that come in reply to that from candidates. They really appreciate that we share the feedback with them, and we really go down in details. And basically, we see that was a learning opportunity as well for a person that if they apply for a role, that they can basically, and especially if they do the technical assignment, we will get them feedback on the assignment so that they can learn from that experience. So it's not something that they do the assignment and they get a yes or no. We really try to give them more concrete feedback on how they can grow towards more of the profile that we would like to see in our team. Cool. Once people are on board, obviously it's very hard for a company to keep them, especially with other companies trying to pull them away from them. Like, what do you see like is the secret of retaining and keeping tech talent?
There are numerous reasons why people resign. So, I mean, the salary is one factor, of course, but it's definitely not the only factor. People quit when they get bored. So mostly engineers, they want to keep learning. I mean, really good engineers, they want to keep making progress and grow. That is one fact. So, and then there's also a good team, of course, that offers psychological safety. It's simply more fun to work with people you appreciate, that's for sure. And you also want to have the impression that you're heard. What I also saw is that a lot of companies try to sell themselves by offering free snacks and drinks and so beer fridges and ping pong tables, basically.
It's so 2019, yeah.
That is nice to have, but that's not what will keep people on board. A lot of people like working remotely these days, especially software engineers. There's no reason they have to be on site. They can code wherever they are. So remote opportunities is also a good thing. So I mean, it's a package of a lot of different factors. So I think a good team and people working hours definitely are important.
Okay. Maybe a last question. Obviously, the person that's doing the recruitment is essential to a company to bring in the talent. But what is that of that person in relationship to the company culture? How do you see that?
Well, they're basically an ambassador of the company because they are often the only person a candidate speaks to. They're always the first person the candidate speaks to, but often the only person, for example, if they don't make it past that first stage. So the interview actually has a huge impact on what they think of us. Mm-hmm. If the people leave the interview with a smile on their face, then it means that they have a positive impression of us. So I usually tend to give feedback and try to help them to improve, for example, when I see someone's CV, they say, oh, you speak English pretty well, you should put that on your CV, for example. And so I try to give them some advice that they can take home, no matter if I hire them or not. But with honest feedback, I mean, we really have a very honest feedback culture, but it can be a double-sided sword, so you need to be really careful. For example, I will no longer tell people that we will not hire them for whatever reason, because that can actually backfire. And people they feel like they lose their face, so it's better to do that in writing, for example. And language is also important. As I earlier said, I tried the term culture fit. So I really say company fit. So when people may not think that it's really a company fit thing and not like about European culture, for example. So
I think one of the very nice thing on how we approach interviews is also how we do them, actually. So we have like a very clearly defined script on when we do a phone screen, for example. And recently we work with a lot with customers. And of course, our customers also have to hire people. And sometimes we don't do the recruitment for them, but they try to do it themselves. And I recently sat in a job interview for a candidate for a lead position at one of our customers. And it was the first time I was doing that with them. And we went into the interview and I asked them like, okay, what are you looking for in this person? Like, what is the kind of profile? And so he showed me like, okay, this is the role description. But what we do more is like we look for kind of behaviors that people are having, right? So we don't look necessarily for checkboxes that we want to check in terms of, okay, the actual skills, but we look more into like the behavior of a person in a certain situation because that's what we believe is more important. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe share a bit more on how, or maybe some example questions that you ask to find out if they do certain behavior or not?
For example, I asked them what they recently learned. Or is there anything they would like to learn in their next role and how they go about it, for example? So which sources they use? So do they really understand if they're really somebody who's passionate about this? Do they actually search out new technologies? Do they stay up to date? Can they mention some sources? Or I ask them, for example, how they dealt with a conflict in the past. So when they experienced conflict in the team before and how they dealt with it. So are they somebody who tries to arrange everybody? Do they try to solve it or do they get angry? So always ask about, I usually ask questions where they reflect on what they did in the past, because that often indicates also how they will do it in the future instead of like asking a hypothetical question.
That makes sense. Okay, very nice. That kind of sums up this episode. Maybe I want to mention as well that you wrote a blog post about this, maybe the very nice title, When There Isn't Plenty of Fish in the Sea, Hiring and Retaining Tech Talents by Simon Eretz. It's on our blog, you can read it. We'll make sure to put a link in the description as well. So thank you, Simon, for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's it, folks. Thanks for listening. Hopefully see you in the next episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast channel, or follow us on LinkedIn, or maybe subscribe on our website to our newsletter so you can keep up to date with all things Made with Love is doing. See you next time. That's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening and following us. Listen to other episodes on our website madewithlove.com/pulse or on your favorite streaming service. You can of course also follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter. See you next time.